Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi, folks, how are you doing?
Great, Dale.
Right, you know. Great fun.
Good to see you all after the break. You're all looking well. With TJ America, delighted to be joined by Ken. How are things, Ken?
Great, Dale. Great coming into the business, into the championships now.
Yeah,
ready for action.
There was no point in us coming on talking about first rounds or back doors and stuff like that. Like, you know, something I'll actually want to talk about a bit later is the kind of discrepancies between championships being finished. We consider how long the Wexford final is over and how that would bode for the referees in a Leinster club scenario. It's silly, really, isn't it? That we've some, but anyway, we talk about that. Good to see. Do you enjoy the break? You did.
Absolutely.
Refreshed.
Yeah. Fully refreshed.
TJ, you were looking very well at half time there yesterday, TJ. I made a point in today's paper that Kieran looked like a man that could have togged out in the county final. You weren't too far off yourself, I'll have to say.
I saw him jumping the gate, right, Jay. He's still fit as a flea. But yeah, we had a 25-year remembrance of the year 1996 winning the Munster Championship and unfortunately losing the All-Ireland. So all the lads, practically we had them all there and we went for one or two after the game to catch up and a few old stories, they'll all, you know, yourself, yeah.
What was the story, TJ? Where would you adjourn to now after one like that?
Patsy Nicholas's.
Patsy Nicholas's.
Up the road. And in fairness to Patsy, he looked after us well, yeah. So we kind of arrived on there and right in the middle of Liverpool and United, Marco. I'm sure it was great stuff. full voice and, you know, and I think I arrived in just as Pogba was getting his red card. So, yeah.
So, that was only the league, TJ. That's only the league.
That's only the league, I know, yeah.
That's only the league, yeah. They won the Champions League title.
Mark, are you standing by your manager? Yeah.
He's under fair pressure now, Dale, this week, I can tell you. That was a bad one.
First time.
Was it David Moyes got the boot after the last one? I think so. I'd say he's on the exit player now, Dale, I would say somehow.
Isn't it interesting, though? You know, I know he was a very popular player and he comes across as a real nice guy, but that, like, even Gary Neville was still not calling for his head yesterday, like, you know, and, you know, you'd carry her, you know, I was only watching him when I came up from work last night, but Carragher, like a Liverpool man who was in his interest, I'd say, to leave him at the wheel, saying, look, he's not going to do the job, like, get rid of him. And Neville, and Roy Keane wasn't on yesterday, no, and Roy is inclined to back him as well, like, isn't he? Yeah.
He is. Roy is always backing him, to be fair. But it must be very hard when a fella that you have played with and soldiered with for 10 or 15 years and then takes over the manager's position, like, and then they're on such a bad run at the moment, like, it must be very hard for those lads to commentate, and a good friends, I would say, as well, you know, and Solskjaer definitely is a nice fella, like, you know.
Mark, it doesn't really bother you on here, like, if you need to call it out, you're not slow about calling it out, like.
Has he got to go, Mark?
Yeah, I probably think so, yeah, absolutely. He's got to go, unfortunately.
We'll probably talk about it in a while in the hurling context, but the Premiership is very manager orientated. He gets the credit and he gets the blame, and I think we might be heading a small bit that way in GAA, maybe in certain.
Yeah, it does soften the blow to TJ when they probably, United will probably write a check for £5 million for them, like, you know, to some PR money, like, you know.
Yeah, was
at that level, though, that level money doesn't matter, lads, because they're all millionaires anyway. It's the pride, Solskjaer, the pride. Yeah. They still want to win, and that's why they're at the helm there. He wants to win. He wants to win with Man United, or you know what I mean? So from that perspective, I think like money for Solskjaer, the sort of guy he is, in fairness to the chap, he has it made anyway. So at the end of the day, his managerial career is going to go down to Swansea. Mm. It's as simple as that.
I still think that, Ken, if I got 5 million, it would help with my heart pride.
Yeah, but what's he worth? What's he worth like? Like you see Steve Bruce there, I think it's 8 million. Yeah. And like Bruce, he looks so shook, doesn't he? He looks stressed out totally, you know what I mean?
He got to Barbados now for 3 months, Ken.
The poor old divot. Is there any chipper? Is there any chippers in Barbados?
Yeah. I'd say he liked your lifestyle in Newcastle, all right?
Yeah.
I like it. Fair is they let him manage for his 1,000 game and then give him the bullets. It's a fair achievement, isn't it? 1,000 games as a manager. Yes. Either championship or premier level, like a fair team, you know.
Some going.
He never got the job where he kind of had money, really, did he? And ironically, now that they have money, he gets the bullet. anyway, lads, back to that's our premiership rant over for another day. Mark, you were always going to get the dig off Mr. Ryan on that one today. You're United as well, Ken, are you?
I remember when Dennis Law backheeled in for relegation for United in 73. I was listening to the radio. So there you are. That's how long I'm there.
Okay. I didn't jump on the bandwagon like Mark saw when Ferguson took over.
So we are there. I was there when Ferguson came from Edinburgh and Mark Hughes, but Jesus, Brian McClair and Mark Hughes bailed him out once or twice. I can tell you because he was at the Mark exit door as well.
Mark Robbins, yeah. I remember being out for one of my first Ford Super Sundays. You remember that one when only the Pope had Sky? And it was a cup quarter final, I think. It might be BBC even, but we'd know BBC at home anyway. We barely had one and two, but been out for that, and Robin's got a late goal and kind of saved Ferguson's job, I think, at the time. Like, you know, the rest is history, as I say. TJ, to kick back to the hurling, not a great county final, I say. Just, you know, county finals like Limerick are the best team in the country by a nice bit, we all acknowledge, but the county finals are always different than that, aren't they? They're more, you know, it's club stuff, and poor enough first half, I thought. Great third quarter, then, really enjoyed that. But the Belbeck, Tony Considine's love affair with the Limerick Championship goes on, like fourth championship, I think, now. Clare guys have a fair old record in that Limerick Championship, haven't they?
Massively, yeah, because Sparrow has 4-1 as well. Sparrow won 3 with a dare, and he won one with Kilmallock. So Tony joins him there. Was kind of
Sean Stack.
Is Sean Stack 4 as well, is he?
No, he has 4 now, but he has 1, definitely, if not 2 with the Piercing. Jim Fall has 1 with the Piercing.
There's plenty of Clare fellas, but good championship overall, Dale, I would say. We had the best 4 teams in the semi-finals in Doon and Napiershig, Kilmallock and Patrick Swell. Napiershig obviously went out to 2 cases and they had a couple of other injuries. They probably were the most team affected, but you couldn't dispute Kilmallock's drive. A couple of teams nearly had him beat. Belly Brown had him on the rack. Yeah. So Liberty's had them on the rack. They had to go to extra time, but you'd have to say at the end of the game yesterday they were deserving winners, and you know they put in a mighty performance. And what you said there about Cooper and family and the Kilmallock history, everything came out yesterday with Mike Houlihan's son Michal taking the freeze and playing very well, and Clarkey's young fella coming off the bench and finishing with those 2 scores, Connor. Just a mighty day for Kilmallock. And you know, in county finals you need your big boys and your chip leaders to perform. And in fairness to the old stagers like Paddy O'Brien and Gavin O'Mahony, they won't like me calling them old stagers, and Philip O'Loughlin, they were very good. But Jesus, Graham had one of those days where he was unmarkable. And he really carried the can. He scored 7 points from play. He was involved in everything good. And just everything clicked for them. And Paris Will had no answer to him yesterday. He was unbelievable. Obviously, he got man of the match. And I suppose, look, when Oisin O'Reilly got that goal in the last quarter, that nailed it for them. Like Paris Will led 16-15 at second water break.
At the water,
The game was in the melting pot, but you'd have to say that the last quarter just completely came out and took over and ran out 124-19. As I said, just deserving winners. Everything went right from the finish. And yeah, as I said, Tony Considine, like, unbelievable stuff. Like, and like, strangely enough, at the semi-final stage, they would have been the outsiders of 4.
Yeah.
Do you know? That's what they did. So, and they came and pulled it off. They have a great tradition. And I'm not sure, but I think they have just a brilliant record against Patrick Swell in finals. I'm not sure the exact stat, but someone told me that Parkeswell haven't beaten Kilmallock in a final.
Maybe one. I did. I don't know. Christy O'Connor had an article on it on Saturday. I thought
maybe one.
Might have been on one. Yeah, Kilmallock had beaten them in four up to yesterday. So I think that was the fifth one. So yeah, obviously that's
hello. I will say this in fairness. I was talking to the Teej man there about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he did put me right. He said, Mark, I have a small fancy for Kilmallock. He said, they're 9-2. I wouldn't put you off him now. They're playing the Pearshig, but there was strong world in the Pearshig, hadn't a full team. And then the man on the ground said, Kilmallock of the crowd, he said, they're fierce value at 9-2.
Yeah, so, and even without, I don't know if you saw it, Ken. I don't know if you saw any of it. It was on TG Carr, but you could have been caught up in club stuff, were you?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
I didn't but see, I just saw the highlights there. I saw Oisín O'Reilly's goal now. That took a bit of bottling determination to head for the goals. Like, there was a lot of work in putting away that goal, and he showed that type of grit and bottle that you need heading for the net and not turning back. You know, a brilliant goal.
Yeah, and Ken, like, Oisín O'Reilly, for anyone that knows, he one of the quickest players in the country, never mind Limerick. And he kind of maybe threatens sometimes to do more than then what he delivers. He fumbles a bit of ball, and I had him as a minor now. Great lad, lovely lad. And it didn't look like it was happening for him, TJ. They started him centre on Burnsy, and he got on a lot of ball. He set up the first three scores, and then he faded out of it. They put him wing, they put him corner. And ironically, I suppose Shawnee O'Brien was lucky enough to survive till half-time, TJ.
He was.
He took him down at one stage, and he was bearing down on goal, Oisín. And then Shawnee thundered into the match in the second half. When that third quarter, when Dewell looked defiant, I thought Shawnee O'Brien was the main man back there. Like, him out with ball after ball. And then Oisín grabs this one ball, and Shawnee's on a yellow and a half at this stage. Like, and he just lets fly because he's not going to catch him. And double whammied in. As the goal goes in, you're down four. Shawnee gets a red, and it's game over then. No way would you have said at the last water break someone is going to win this match by 8 points. You couldn't see it, TJ.
You couldn't foresee it because it was tit for tat all the way through. And even, actually, like, Parkeswell were 2 down at halftime, and they led 3 in the third quarter. And you even thought at that stage they looked like the team more likely to kick on. But she's Kilmallock responded really, really well. Like, but to go back to Oisín O'Reilly, Dale, like, he was one of those forwards that you kind of excites the place. You'd love to have him as a forward. He's electric. He's looking to make things happen all the time. And I would agree with you. He didn't have his best game. He was brilliant in the previous 2 games to Kilmallock. He was really leading from the centre forward position. But yeah, he was dangerous all day. They probably looked more likely to get the goal. They were kind of creating a bit more space, and they were dangerous the whole time. So, but yeah, good forward. And I was very impressed with Robbie Handy in the middle of the field as well, Dillo.
He's superb.
Yeah.
Superb.
He's a kind of fellow now, I'd say, that could threaten maybe a first 15 place for the year coming. Like, he was really good in the middle of the field. Jeez, his pace probably maybe really hit me in the face yesterday, or he was just covering someone to ground very quickly.
Yeah, last quarter, TJ, like, as you rightly said, and Graham was the man of the match, 7 from play. He was brilliant. Like, he rolled back to yours, and I thought Paddy had a great game, and Gavin was threatening, even though Nigel Foley probably got on. It was a fair battle between the two of them. Like, there was plenty ash being worn, but Robbie Hanley took over the match. I mean, they won midfield, you know, 2 county players midfield. I didn't think. The interesting thing, TJ, for me is, I don't know if you heard anything coming into it, but Cian obviously got treatment, and he's like, Cian couldn't get into the game at all, Cian Lynch. One lovely flick in the first half, but all the young lads, this was the usual flick back into the hand, and one great catch, but well marshalled by Kieran O'Connor, I don't know, was he injured? But when you have the best hurler in the country, probably, and you can't get him involved really in a county final, it's a huge, huge knockback, like.
Yeah, and I don't know about his injury or what the story is, but at a couple of stages during the game, he did seem to be holding his right leg, so it looked like if there was something wrong with him, right? Yeah, I'd say maybe secretly, I'd say John Kiley might be happy with the likes of Keane and them, maybe that he can just put him away now and wrap him up for a couple of months, and get whatever he needs to get done. It might be a good result for him, but yeah, it was unusual. I haven't seen him that ineffective in a game nearly ever. Like, Keane usually on big days, he usually is the main man, but you just couldn't get him in the game at all, and maybe couldn't get a good supply of ball to Gland in either, you know. So they struggled for scores even at half time. I think Parkeswell only had 2 points in play on the board. Like, given the forward line that they had, the O'Briens, and like Patrick Kirby and the Tugelands, you would have expected nearly more from them. Like, but it just wasn't happening for him. But look, maybe you've got to give credit to the Kim Alkfellas. They brought defending, you know what I mean, they defended as a group, and they have some fine, big, strong players, and that Tony Considine county final effect about bringing war in the day, you know, that really, really came to the fore. Like, and you know what I mean, they were up for it all year long.
Yeah, so just to finish on it, and they look forward to the Cork champions, and we move on to that now in a sec. But no, what I thought was, like, it's unusual. Like, we often had, we had six on the Clare panel in 95, we still couldn't win the championship in Clare, and we three starters. But they have possibly three of the greatest players in the country. They'd probably be on the best 15 you pick in Ireland at the moment, in Burnsy, Keane, and Aaron Gillane. And you'd say if you three like that to be nearly a penalty kick. But then, just coming away, driving home yesterday, stuck in traffic there out in that Woody's car park. But I was saying, like, Kilmallock had more, like the O'Loughlin brothers, fellas like maybe David Wolfe, lads like that, Dan Jai, Liam English even, and they had more lads maybe that are the kind of guys that get county finals won. Do you know?
Yeah.
Steady,
yeah.
Good big day performance, because that's their big day. They're not going to appear in the All-Ireland final maybe at club level, and they have been in one lately enough, I suppose, with Sparrow, but they're not going to play for Limerick, probably. Some maybe might defy that, maybe some of the younger fellas, but they had more, like the two O'Loughlins had great battles with the two Gillanes. And probably maybe, although the Gillanes had great moments, and Aaron, like, Hennessy made a brilliant save from Aaron in the first half, and then he hit the post with a fantastic flick. So it just didn't really happen for him. But the two O'Loughlins were very manful in the jobs that Tony Constantine gave him to do.
He did, yeah. And I think, actually, speaking of the O'Loughlins, I think Paddy's back home as well now, right? So I'd say they might be looking to see could they get him back involved for maybe a Munster campaign. It'll be some addition. But I will agree with you. All those players around the pitch, that work rate, the two wing forwards, David Wolfe and Michal Hulahan, I thought their work rate, their intelligence, and like they were just all around the pitch, as you said, guys, they were doing a job and they were very driven. I was impressed with Michal Hulahan too. His free taking was very good. I think
very good.
Left points, very good, Jan. I suppose maybe the pressure of being Mike's son and all that, kind of just being able to roll back the old years as well for him. Like, he's been around a while, Michal, but I thought he was very effective this championship for Kamala, because I really led there for the half hour and getting scores every day. And I think that, they refer to him as Copper. Do you know the way the father, Mike, was Iron Mike? Well, they refer to Michal, the son, as Copper Mike, right? And I think the reason for it is that the young fella is hard as well, right? But he's not as hard as Mike, Iron Mike.
TJ, when his name was called out and he came out to wave, even though I was up in the high up press box, I still got the willy nillies.
Did you?
I tell you, I used to prefer being back in the corner in my early days when Mike was midfield. I was too near him when I came out wing back. he was raw hard by Mike Houlihan. He was
raw hard. He was actually in front of me at the match.
Yeah,
he was in front of me. He was passionate about some of the refereeing calls there once or twice as well. Like, so I thought you were going to nearly see him on the field at one stage. Yeah, but yeah. No, great. And I said, the family occasion, the club, that's what it's all about. And the tradition lives on. And, you know, with those two young fellas now, Kilmallock have the next chapter to look forward to. So it's just amazing the way it goes around. And I think Graham, in his speech afterwards, he referenced those guys and how much it meant to him when he was growing up to be seeing those guys playing well for Kilmallock and playing Munster Club and all that. Like, so it's just amazing the effect, and it's kind of rolling on again.
Yeah, fantastic. Just some, I'm not going to knock on referees straight away, no, lads, the whole country be giving out about us. But you know something? It was just yesterday, I watched you, Mark. Well, I could hear you, and we could see you as well with your cool more jacket, Marco. A couple of lads on Twitter were wondering, were you looking for a service for the Queen, from one of the Coolmore with the cool, everyone else had Co-op stores jackets on them, but you Coolmore. But that's a measure of where you've gone in life, I suppose. But look, no,
I tell you now, if the Queen wins the black type race, she's going for next Saturday, I would definitely be looking for a cover. There's a tip, you know.
Yeah, at least we know she's going this time, you know. The last time you didn't even give us the heads up that she was running, and the next thing, TJ said, well done on the WhatsApp page. And I said, well done. I put out my two hands with that emoji, fella. Do you know how the letter comes out like this?
You were all following up the...
I know, but no
time. Yeah, but you lost faith. She got done over a mile and a half, like in Dundalk, and you were all giving out, criticising, and then So only the poor old faithful stuck with her. I did get a few thumbs up from fellas now as well, and the cash signs and their emojis, like, you know. So
yeah,
we have to stick with it, Taylor.
She went up, she returned at 72, Mark. So there was a good lot of lads knew what she were asked, but just went under the radar. I just thought you might have said, Les, the old queen is going tomorrow there. She's in good order. But anyway, look, you was tipped off now for Saturday anyway. Where are we Saturday?
Oh, you're going, look at the paper.
Where is she going to be running? Dundalk again? No.
Across the pond.
Oh, Jesus. Are we all
going? We're
going
to take a man by. I'll be bringing the tricolour with me.
Jesus, we all go, TJ, are we?
Where's that, Marco?
Well, it'll be.
You could wrap it.
No, it's my 11th. It's my 11th winning anniversary as well. So myself, Jackie, and the kids are heading over on Thursday. We'll make a weekend of it. And they're on holidays as well. There's a mayor's listed hurdle in Willoughby.
Okay.
And Paisley Park is actually making us come back as well that day. I met Emma Lavelle last Wednesday in England, and she said Paisley Park is going that day as well. So it'll be a big day to be in Willoughby, Taylor.
Good stuff, good stuff. Where's Willoughby, Mark, in relation to the map of England?
Right in the middle. Right in the middle.
You're flying to Birmingham Dublin. Tomorrow,
will you? No, I'd say we'll take the car because we're going over for 3 or 4 days. So we'll take the ferry from Dublin to Holyhead and then drive from Holyhead down to Weatherby. It's about 3 hours in the car. But it's a bit of an adventure for the kids as well.
ITV racing Saturday for all our Getaway Queen fans.
Okay.
This is the big stuff. And if she does the business here, Coolmore will be getting the call.
They're already on this morning. Thanks to somebody who put it out on Twitter last night.
I saw, I sent it on, Charlie. Yeah. Just one of the things that I wanted to say, and it just struck me again yesterday a bit. Like Robbie Hanley made a brilliant run in the second half, and maybe he was fouled, but he got his shot away for a goal, and someone blocked it, and the ref brought it back. And it was something that was commented, Mark. I watched Middleton and Aaron Zone. I watched the first half of yesterday of the Rockies and Douglas, and then I had to hit for the Gaelic ground, so I didn't see the second half, and I didn't see the Glenn and Emma Killey. But just, it was commented, Joe Cunningham commented a couple of times as well, that the refs seemed to be letting the advantage go a bit longer than we were used to, and I found it frustrating that lads, you know, the passage, 5 seconds is meant to be the rule, we're told, is it? It's definitely going longer than 5 seconds, I felt.
Yeah, and I was at Black Rock. I can't think of who they were playing now. Dermot Kerwin ref the game, and I actually commented 2 or 3 times. It was actually Sales in Midland, sorry. I commented 2 or 3 times during the course of the game that Dermot had definitely gone over the 5 seconds. And I know it came back to me afterwards that he wasn't overly impressed to be criticised about it, but it definitely is giving the forward, giving the shooter the more opportunity. And I suppose, Anthony, to be fair, I think that's kind of right to give the opportunity, because if you look at rugby, it really is until the ball goes dead that the opportunity, and if they don't get anything from the opportunity, it does come back to be given the penalty. So I agree, I know the 5 seconds is there. It's a kind of an open book, I think, in the course of the game. As a referee, you kind of have to judge the, you know. So I remember actually the manager of Sayers, Myers, The first free that he gave advantage for, they got nothing for it, and he didn't bring it back. And you could hear him roaring in from the sideline, "We want the free! We want the free!" Yep. You know, no, I still don't think that's right for a manager to be shouting in at the referee, that the referee do his job like. But that it might have had an effect, certainly in that game, but there was certainly, over the course of the games, the referees are certainly leaving going more. But I suppose the one thing I would say is, if the referee continuously leaves their hand up, I have no issue with that. The biggest problem I have is if a referee puts his hand up, then brings it down, and then brings it back. I think that's a problem for the referee.
Okay. I just think, Ken, maybe some supporters find it a bit frustrating in that they mightn't even look at the ref because the fella may be bearing down on goal, there might be an overlap going on outside him, and they see the action taking place in, and it's either a brilliant block maybe by a defender denies the score, and then we're back. You know, they've all cheered for the brilliant bit of defending, or the wide that a fella shoots. And there was one particular wide from Black Rock yesterday it was every bit as good a chance as the free, because the ball was popped back to a guy and he drove it wide inexplicably from 40 yards. And, you know, I just think supporters might find it a bit frustrating if it goes too long and they're saying, you know, give the bloody free so and we get on with the thing, and they're watching the game trying to enjoy the flow.
Of course, the word that we're reluctant to use as well, common sense, we're reluctant to use that as well because we're not supposed to use that in the GAA rule book. We were involved in club championship yesterday as well, and there was a few instances, and in fairness to the referee, he stuck by the 5 seconds, Mark. He stuck by the 5 seconds, and there was an advantage on, and there was a goal-scoring opportunities, and was pulled back, and the free was given, and it resulted, obviously, in a single point, which, obviously, the opposition are happy about, rather than concede the green flag. So, the anomaly is there, lads. You know, we had it in the championship this year where a potential red card, black card for obviously fouling within the anywhere where near goals, bearing down in goals. Now you have the situation in the club where, again, as we mentioned about Paddy there and the O'Briens in or chap in from Patrick's Well that tried to take down O'Sheen. He kept getting away with it. Whereas if that was county championship, he would have been gone by half time, to be fair about it. So from that perspective, I think, I mean, the rule book for club and the rule book for the county, I mean, everything should be the same. That's first of all, it should be right standard right throughout. And the second thing is, I think I tend to agree with Mark. I think if the referee has his hand up, leave the advantage go. And it's at his discretion then to bring it back or not to bring it back. 5 seconds. Why is it 5 seconds? Why is it not 7 seconds or 4 seconds? You know, and I think the referee should be given that autonomy to decide himself, is it advantage or not?
Okay. Yeah, no, in fairness, look, if the fella's fouled, and I hear what the Sarsfields manager was saying, Mark, going back, to, you know, take the free. We have a good free taker and we'll be guaranteed the point. So, you know, I see it if it was going to carry on to a goal or something. But yeah, and to be fair to the Well lads, Kilmallock blatantly pulled down a few of the Well lads near the end of it as well, TJ. You know, it would have been black card penalty as well. Shawnee did one all right the first half. And yeah, geez.
The one Mark O'Loughlin on Aaron Gillan.
Aaron Gillan.
Yeah.
What
Ken is saying there is like it's mad to have an inconsistency between the club game and the intercounty game. Like, why you have two different rulings, like, in terms of the play that needs to be tidied up. The refereeing is back to consistency as well. If they're all doing the same thing, it's not too bad. Yep. At least you know. But when one is doing one and one is doing the other, that's a bit strange. Before we move away from Limerick, very quickly, Dello, Mungret had a really, really good win in the Premier Intermediate. They're gone senior now. That's something they've been trying for a long time. They have a good side. They've young. There's a lot of work going on there. There's a big development going on there. So they're a team that I think you could be hearing plenty more about over the coming years. Yeah. And on Saturday, Effin won the Intermediate Championship. So the Quaids to the four there. And they have a young forward there, Patrick O'Donovan, who's had a great season with them. Like, so another name to look out for, because he just seems to be getting scores day in, day out. But good weekends for Effin, Mungret and Kilmallock. So I'm sure the Effin boys and the Kilmallock boys will meet up there. They'll be very near neighbours. So I said the crack will be good, and Nicky's got a pub there and stuff in F, and so, and Mike
and Patrick O'Donovan, TJ, Patrick O'Donovan, nephew of Conor O'Donovan.
Yeah.
I hope he hand passes the ball properly. Conor will be watching that, but I saw him playing at minor level, TJ. I saw him playing at minor level, a great little player, fantastic score getter.
He's had a really, really good club campaign now, and he's been really, really powerful for F, and so getting plenty of scores every day. So.
Kilmallock are lucky to have a few weeks between getting to Hoolas and going out to Nicky and going out to Clarkey as well. Like,
yeah, there's plenty of watering holes to visit over the coming days. So I said a crack would be good today, in all fairness, because I said
Bank holiday as well.
Yeah, be mighty.
Couldn't be a better weekend to win a county championship, could it?
Absolutely.
Showing my age now. We won the championship in Clare 30 years ago in 1991. Played on the bank holiday Sunday. Beat Scariff in a county final. It was my first one on the field to play winning, and it was a great story. Sparrow had an uncle, Patch O'McMahon, Patch O'Cock, affectionately known as. He was a guest man, North Mercy, you know. He was a great, great character. And he was in the airport, and they'd be getting kind of double time down the airport at the time for working a bank holiday. But of course, the system wasn't great after winning the county final on the Sunday. And Martin Sheedy, our full back, had to go into work. I think he had to go in 8 to 2. on the Monday, but he was getting away too. But when he went into the kitchens, I think PJ Cock was there with a 2-bar heater, the racing post, the feet, the shoes and socks off, up inside a little cubby hole down off the kitchens. And he said, "Who'd be in here for double feckin' time after winning a county final, Martin Sheedy?" He said, "You know, like, that's Pedro, you're having the 2-bed," like he said, you know. But yeah, he was looking forward to getting home for his bank holiday celebrations and the usual Mardi Gras after a county final. There's nothing like it, really, is there, the day after a county final. It's a magic day.
The Monday is always brilliant, isn't it?
Magic day.
Yeah. You remember, I don't know, Dale, were you in the bank at the time? The Cork and Limerick Savings Bank in TSB used to have a man of the match on the Monday after the hurling and the football finals. And Tomás Mulcahy and myself used to host most of all the talk, and I would just there to shake the hands. But we had fantastic days. And most, I think nearly every team turned up around 12 o'clock, half past 12. And without fail, it was always the losing team that started to sing song about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But it was a fantastic day of bringing both clubs together, you know, whether it was a West Cork or a City final or an East Cork final, and both teams were looking forward to it because it became a tradition after 3 or 4 years. And then you'd have maybe the 20 close fellas, the team, the chairman, the secretary, the managers, and, you know, you'll always have a couple of fellas that are going to be there that always get every match. But they were fantastic days out. It was organised, and there was grub, and there was drink for the whole day. It was, Jesus, they were... We're not a couple of great days, even though we weren't involved in them.
Sam, I had 3 years in a row of it down in Kerry, losing the first year, then winning the two teams to the Ballyroe Heights for lunch, sponsored by the AIB. I think maybe coming in Bank of Ireland now, I'd want to be careful. I'd want to be given, Jesus, what days, both teams again, like, and just Mardi Gras for the day. Great fun, and usually adjourning back to the winning parishes local in the evening, you know. So
yeah.
And Mark, you'll be producing winners down there. Imokili won't be the winners now anyway, so it's going to be a club team that's going to be coming out to play Kilmallock. So very very enjoyable game Friday night. Mark sat down and tuned into you. Very enjoyable. I thought Nathan had a good game now, but I thought the second, I text you actually, that the second yellow I thought was harsh. Was that the calling? Yeah. Is that the hero Murphy that got sent off? Is it?
Oh, he's the hero since he's about 7 or 8 years of age, like Kieran Murphy. Yeah, he's actually working in the AIB in Middleton, so he's going to get some stick this week, now, like, you know. But hero to zero, fellas were calling him after the game. He's 39 years of age.
Yeah, he's a crucial man for them, man. He's a crucial guy for the way they play, and he's involved in all the good stuff they do.
Last year, Aaron Zone played BlackRock in one of the round robin games, and they were about 14 points down. He came on and he tumbled into the game, and he brought it back, and BlackRock won by 2 points in the end, and they were very lucky to win it. He started all the games afterwards. They went to the county semi-final and they lost 3 defenders against the Glen to injury in the first half. So they were down to your 7th, 8th, and 9th defender to finish the game, and they only narrowly got beaten by the Glen. Now, they have been a magnificent team. They were 10 points down against the Bears this year at halftime. We came back to get a draw. And against Charleville in the last round robin game, they were a point down 4 minutes into injury time and they got an equaliser to put him into the quarterfinal. And like, On Friday night, there's no doubt it took Middleton the 64 or 5 minutes to put him away. There was only 2 points in it in the 62nd minute, and they had a 21-yard free in front of the goals. They elected to tap the ball over the bar. I probably thought they should have went for a goal. Actually, there was 3 points in it at the time. But Kieran Murphy was sent off after, I suppose, 5 minutes into the second half, and it definitely did have an effect. Then they lost the centre-back, James O'Flynn, to injury, and Sam Guilfoyle, the centre-forward, went off as well. So the Anzona were quite unlucky on the night that they didn't have a full deck, I would say, to play with. But I think, you know, a lot of the neutrals would have fancied Midland going into the game just because of their reputation. But Jesus, I tell you this much. The Anzona are so, so difficult to play against. They're so hard to beat. They give everything. And they were devastated. I spoke to a good few of the players after the game coming out of the stadium. They were devastated, Anthony, after the match. I suppose it was a good advertisement. But in terms of the second yellow card, Dale, for me, any player who's on a yellow, You just have to be so careful. I thought the middle fella probably went down a little bit easy, but he still did get a block. Like, if he wasn't on a yellow, I think he definitely would have got a yellow for it, Anthony. But it was the significance of it because it was a second yellow.
And well, you said it in your commentary, if he just put his two hands out, he'd have escaped. But he did leave the two
absolutely
hands.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you know, I still just thought he didn't do much from Philip. Huh?
Still thought he didn't do much. No, he, you know. Anyway, it was the turning point, wasn't it? Because
it was an advantage. You know, it definitely turned the game towards Middleton, and they did hold very well for the next 10 or 15 minutes when they went 4 or 5 points clear. But Aaron's own brought it back then down to 2 points, and they had a couple of opportunities. But I think overall, Middleton probably just about deserved to eke it out. And Conallaghan got a wonderful score at the end of the game, actually, to push it back out to 3 points as well. He caught a huge puck out, soared into the sky, you know, like a salmon, to be fair, and turned and stepped it over the bar. But in the overall context, like, I've been just looking out for a couple of inter-county fellas. I thought young Sam Burke was really good in the middle of the field. He played under 20 as well this year in the middle of the field. And he's one for the future, definitely, for me.
Okay, yeah, no,
what about Conallaghan, Mark?
Connor?
Yeah.
Didn't make enough of a statement for me anyway to want to be getting a call up, but he'll have another opportunity again in a fortnight's time. Just Sam Conallaghan, I suppose, really, you know, has all the touches, has all the ability. But, you know, I see TJ Reid getting it at 111 the other day for Ballyhale Shamrocks. And, like, you need your top player scoring the 1-7, 1-8, 1-9 every day. Like, Connor's getting 3 or 4 points. Like, I think he got 2 points from play, maybe 3 from freeze. Like, you know, you just need more. Like, Luke Farrell got 4 from play. Comic with Zen got 4 from play. You know.
Surely, Mark, in a team situation where you have 30 players on an inter-county panel, Conor Lehan, by the way, Middleton won a county final, didn't it, a number of years ago, and Conallaghan was the major catalyst for that win.
He got 3-10. He got 3-10 the same day. So,
he's not in the twilight of his career. He still has something to contribute if that can be taken from him from the point of view of the panel and go. Is he not a 20-minute player, a 15-minute player? As where he comes in and scores that type of point that you said that he scored at the end to seal the victory for Middleton. I would have always, I know he was inconsistent, but I would have rated Conor Lehan as a good player.
Well, and Ken, 100% agree with you there, and we would all rate Conor as a very, very good player. The problem is that he has probably lost a lot of the faith that supporters would have him because of his inconsistency. So you go back to the Limerick game 2018, the All-Ireland semi-final. He got a goal and 3 points in the first 15 minutes of the second half and dragged Cork back into it and put him in front. And then we didn't see him for the rest of the game. He, late in the game, he got a 45-yard chance right in front of the goals and he hit it wide. So it's that inconsistency, Ken, that there has been a huge frustration both from management and supporters in probably supporting Conor, I would suggest. Now, if Conor was prepared to do a job for 15 or 20 minutes, like Shane Dowling will say now for Limerick, where you knew exactly what you were going to get when he came on, because Dowling did that on umpteen occasions, well, yeah, he definitely would have a role. But the question is, Ken, psychologically, is he prepared to go do the training, do the hard miles, knowing that you're going to be a 15-minute or 20-minute man? That is the big question. That's something that maybe Conor, or sorry, the Kieran Kingston and his management will have to chat about, or maybe they won't chat about it at all. Okay.
As you said, that point, Mark, if he could do more of that sort of thing, Jesus, because the matches in the Milton pot, Aaron's owner digging in, and he literally called for the puck out, went sky high, pivoted as he can when he came down, and brilliant score, out to 3 again, and if you get more of that, there'll certainly be a future for the guy back in there again. But as you said, didn't see enough of it either. Now, I watched it all. I didn't see enough of it. Lovely touches at times and that, but I wouldn't have seen enough consistent, you know, Boussang, as you said, Quirk, O'Leary, Hayes, Tommy O'Connell, and the wing-back. The wing-back was man of the match, I'd say. Great game.
Yeah, he was very good now. So Tommy O'Connell was excellent now, I'd have to say. He came up with a lot of dirty ball late in the game when Ian Zona were really pushing, and Ian Zona were a bit unhappy that Robbie O'Flynn looked like he got fouled maybe a couple of times late in the game, and they were looking for, you know, those tight decisions you want to go for, It didn't go for Ian Zona in the night. But I think Midland will be delighted to get the victory, because that's a local derby with Ian Zona. And everybody knows locally, Ian's owner is very, very hard to beat. And like Midland had a poor showing against Sars prior to that. So they're back in the track now, and they're back into a county semi-final against the Rockies, which is a big one. It's a big game for both clubs.
Yeah, not to be harping on, Mark, about the refereeing decisions. I said I had to leave for the Gaelic grounds at halftime in the other one, and I was trying to listen to a bit of in the car, but then, as we've discovered this morning, Wi-Fi in West Clare is a bit of an issue. So but anyway... Again, like, I thought Douglas were kind of control. I know they had the wind, were in control. They very much play a sort of a Wexford style that we saw under Davey with short passing. Very few up front. Alan Cadigan even way out the field and work and shooting opportunities, which they missed. But, like, for me, it was a definite free out for the first Blackrock goal. And then I suppose to get the goal, Connolly again, two goals, in fairness to him. He's really developing into a top player. But to go down the field and they win the free in, which is a good response to the goal, and then a moment of madness by the forward with kind of a head movement anyway for sure, and Cahill has no option then but to walk him, and then the Rockies just that's experience and winning last year, the know-how, they're just never going to lose it after that.
See, there was a couple of things now in the course of that game. Like, Douglas played with the wind and it was a gale force wind. And they probably should have been 7 or 8 points to 2 up at that stage. Now, there was an incident after about 15 or 16 minutes. Owen Cadigan cleared the ball and John O'Sullivan plowed into him after the ball was struck, right? There was no free. Cadigan stayed down. Probably should have got up now, like, you know what I mean? But he was caught late. But
King Mac might have froze. I didn't know if it was me freezing or whatever. He's frozen there for a minute and he's a big face. I said the Queen is after falling at the last or something on Saturday. Is she? he's gone. But yeah, like, I suppose Blackrock then kicked on, lads, and had a big win. And you'll be looking at the Douglas players. We're saying the two Kerrigans, Shane Kingston. Who else have they? Brian Turnbull. You'll be saying that they've been already rattling a championship in most counties. But obviously, football is big there as well, and they nearly all play it. It's funny enough, I had the Cratlow lads with a great old twist in the pub after Cratlow boys on Saturday back in a stag for Damien Brown. His first year ever, I'd say, Cratlow beaten in both quarterfinals in Clare. So finally, the likes of Podge and Sean and Conor McGrandy's lads have a break, and so they came back to me on Saturday with a great old chat. And we were on about that, like what it has taken out of teams. And it can be tough going, lads, with a lot of dual players. And we were talking about it, Ken, earlier before we went on the air, that the Lochmore boys are at it again in Tip as well. The dual thing is mighty, and you have to be very proud of what they're doing. But it's hard going.
Yeah, the beauty of the Lochmore thing is the same management team, same player, same management team, because they're a real rural club. The problem is in other clubs is that there's different managements. Football vying against hurling vying against football, and for the first time ever, actually, Clonmel Commercials now, who are actually an outstanding football team, as you well know, and could win the Munster Club, well capable of doing it. They're doing very well at hurling. They're in the Senior B semi-final. They're Seamus Kennedy is the main man there, St. Mary's. So they're in the Senior B semi-final against Killinall with Larry's team. Of course, Temple Derry Kenyans, the favourites. They're playing Cashel Kilcormac in the other semi-final. So
Hot favourites.
Management. Is the huge thing in if it's a dual club, if you have two different managements pulling in different directions, then you have a problem.
Yeah, Aero Guinness as well in Clare are on for the double. Well, they've obviously they're into the football final now after the weekend. Very impressive actually yesterday, and they are in they knocked out Six Mile Bridge going for 3 in a row. They've obviously Shane O'Donnell, they've David Reedy. They have a good hurling team now. Very few weak links: Liam Curry, Kieran Russell, fellas like that. So they're meeting Aina Kildemona, who have never won it, but Aina Kildemona came together. Aina and Kildemona. Kildemona was Fergie Hegarty's club. But they've obviously the McCarthys, David Fitzgerald, Patrick Kelly still in goal. So they have never won it, but they have won everything up along 16 minor, 21. So people are saying, is this their time? They're actually gone completely unbeaten, and they were in the group of five, which was the group of death, everyone was calling it, and they won every game and drew one. And then
who's with Aina Kilimona, Anthony? Who's with them?
Aina Kilimona, Jason McCarthy, Aidan McCarthy.
Manager-wise,
Jesus, their own lads anyway. There's no outside guy. Right. They'll have a bit of football as well now because the McCarthys play football for Kilmurry Abrickan. But Aroge have an awful lot of dual players, like David Reedy, very good in the football the other day. Shane O'Donnell, I think, since he got the knock, has just come back and hurled. He hasn't played the football, but they'll have an awful lot of dual players as well. So it'll be just interesting. They'd have two separate managements as well. You know, they wouldn't have, they'd be very much a football, but they have a lot of players. Aroge one time, to give it a different outlook, they were good at both, sort of, but didn't win the hurling championships in 1990 now, but they'd be contenders a lot of years. But they'd have maybe 10 guys exclusively football, 10 guys exclusively. But the poor old Cratchall lads had maybe 13 guys doing both, like Lochmore, I'd say. But we would have won a couple of intermediate footballs. Can we play both as well now? We don't play it at all now, which is, I think, is a black mark on our club, to be honest. Because we always had football and we always enjoyed it, and we don't even feel the football team now, which I think is a measure of where we're at as a club in some ways. Because it was just taken for, we played football and that was it, and it was good for us, I always felt. And won a couple of intermediates, went up senior, we played in a senior football semi-final, but like that, we often had the same management for both, and the footballs would be rolled out, lads, at the end of hurling training, and we do a bit of shooting now for the football, and it was manageable that way. Did you ever dabble, TJ, in the big ball?
Yeah, a little bit at the very start of the 90s there. I think we had, a bit like yourselves, we were maybe in Junior B or maybe a small bit of Junior A football, and it was like, it was definitely afterthought, but usually good crack at the end of the year when you're out of hurling, right, and just a bit of fun. Now, like in Gary Spillane's the hurling, and our lads will play football with Galbally, so that's the connection. But it is challenging there for the dual clubs going forward, and there's plenty of them in most counties now, right? And, you know, I suppose if you're managing the hurling team, Ken, and you're playing a county semi-final or whatever, and you want those one or two sessions, let's say, do 10 days out or 12 days out to kind of find out a few things, and there's a football fixture thrown in, of course it's going to cause hassle and trouble. And, you know, even, like, I suppose we're all the same. Like, you want your good players, like, the thought of one of your good hurlers getting injured playing football or getting a knock or whatever is kind of cringe material, isn't it?
Oh, stop the lights, stop the lights.
Yeah. You wouldn't let it in Larrakin, no? Football.
Oh, no, we played football. We won the North Senior Double in 84. McIntyre was a good footballer. A great footballer. Centre back and centre field in the football. Yeah, we played the football all right. We won a minor A championship. Bonner was on it, actually, in 96. So, 2006. We played the football. We played the football, right? At a poor level now at this stage.
Yeah. No. Marco, yeah, you'll have to get on to Coolmore to see what they improved the Wi-Fi down in.
It took me a while to cop it because my Wi-Fi was gone now, but the reason for it is that Charlie put a slitter through a triple glazed window last week because there was no lights out the back. So I had an electrician in here this morning putting up a light out the back, and he decided to turn off the electricity when he was making a connection. Never realised I was on the pod. So that's a good reason to go down there, but I'm back now.
Is he on double time, the electrician, now? Would he be on double time on the bank holiday?
I might take him to the races someday, Ken, for free.
I was going to say, I'm glad to see that Charlie's on the right track anyway, breaking windows. That's a good start in life in the hurling career. That's vital.
I was working in Dublin during the week, and I got a photograph from myself with the lovely slitter print after breaking the window. I said, the first time, I thought those triple glazed windows didn't break at all, like, you know.
Mark, obviously, we were talking about it, and look, BlackRock skis it away after that and won as they liked, and then Douglas, I suppose, still the search goes on for them, but that sets up a mouthwatering, the two great semi-finals, in fairness, Gee.
It does.
I didn't get to see any of yesterday in the second game. It sounded like a ripping game. Ebb and flow, your old amalgamated team, Imokilly, the division,
Imokilly,
and the Glen. And Jesus, Mark, we don't associate Hoggy and red cards, Mark.
But here now, right, is the difference between Douglas and the Glen, right? Douglas had a man sent off, right? And unfortunately, they couldn't handle it. And he wasn't of anybody of Hoggy stature. The Glenn had Hoggy sent off for an off-the-ball incident. And it actually rose the team. Now, they got the 2 points straight after it. And from there to the end, Imikili did certainly up their game, but it wasn't a good day for Imikili now. The first quarter was 1-5 to 5 points, but the Glen are playing against the Breeze and they'd won 4 scores from play, and Hoggy got the goal as well. He was on great fire goal, now in the first 20.
Great goal. I see the paper, yeah.
Fantastic goal. Great ball. And 3 defenders tackled him and he broke free. And again, good refereeing as well to lead the advantage. And he broke free and struck it away into the corner. It was a very good goal, and he was going well. No, he was very distraught after the game, that he said it was under no circumstances that he strike with the hurley. From what we didn't see it, but from what we've been told is that John Cronin would have been grappling with him, and the only way a fella would throw him off, you like, you know. Must have got the tail of the hurley or something like that. That's what I'm guessing now that the umpire saw. But like the Glendon, you know, they really stuck to the task. But it never left Imikili get away from, and Imikili never put him away then at the same time. Imikili would be very disappointed. They had a 40-3 in front of the goals to put him a pint up or bring him back level one, and he hit the ball wide. Just shows you the pressures. And maybe the last of Decky Dalton, who, you know, would have been a brilliant free taker for Imikili. And this is the, you know, the thing about, we go back to Myers and Sayers, he's on young for the free taker, and he's very good as well. So, but like the Glen stuck with it. And in fairness to them, they got 4 points from play in a, I would say, a reasonably low scoring game. They got 115 in total, but they got 4 from play in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game to eke out the victory by a pint. And, you know, I suppose the Glen now for the next 10 days will be trying to find every bit of video evidence to try and see if they get Huggy off. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I'd be saying. They'll be doing, like, you know, but. They're playing against Sayers now. That's one semi-final, and the other semi-final is Midland and Blackrock. And I would say, Anthony, if you were asked before the championship started who the 4 semi-finalists would be, certainly, you know, 2 were in the county final last year, Blackrock and the Glen, Sayers under new management, and obviously Midland under Ben O'Connor's coaching as well. So they would probably be the 4 teams that would be in the semi-final. And
2 weeks time back, yeah.
To a fortnight's time now. And I presume it'll be a double header. And I hope that, you know, that the crowd, like, there was a very good atmosphere for the Douglas and Blackrock game, but it that petered out. And then in the Glen game, actually, the last 15 minutes, the game came to life in the last 15 minutes. Now, there was a second sending off in the course of the second half as well for Imikili. And that swung it back, I suppose, to a 14-14. And there was a lot of controversy over it as well. There was hurleys, and there was an accidental clash or clash. There was a hurley went flying, and then there was a fella got struck in the throat. And anyway, between the linesman and the fourth official, they picked out John Cronin for a second yellow card for what we think was an open arm. He was the fella that was fouled initially. He kept going and he plowed into another fella, and he got cut in the throat, David Noonan. And it seems it was a second yellow, because so it was a second yellow rather than a straight red. But like over the course of 3 quarterfinals, there was 4 red cards over the weekend, which I don't know when was the last time I saw 4 red cards in the Cork County Championship. So maybe there's a bit of changing of physicality, and we've been always criticising or maybe pointing out that linesmen or umpires don't get involved as often as they should with the referee. And certainly we saw over the weekend there was a huge amount of communication with both linesmen, fourth officials and umpires. And I think that's good for the game. I think the clear message needs to go to players. If there's any bit of messing going on, they're going to be pulled up over it. And it was a huge call by Simon Stokes to give Patrick Hogan a straight red card. And Patrick's track record speaks for itself. It's impeccable. And we all know that as fellas who played the game and watched the game long enough. The dirty stroke and Patrick Hogan. So he's hurting, I would say. But like the umpires have a job to do. We'd all love to see the video evidence, but you only get 30 seconds to make up your mind in that. And that was his decision that Simon Stokes made just.
Yeah. And I'd say, yeah, you're right. I'd say the Tomas Molds of this world are already working on how they get Huggy out there for And it is, it's a funny one. Like, Sarsfields obviously performed the best in the group stages in Cork, so they don't have a quarter final. But then there's that argument again, isn't it, that the Glen are, after coming through a really tough battle yesterday, a test, it's probably better for you. Do you know?
There's no doubt that a good hard battle. Yeah, everybody wants a battle, and they've fought right now as well. Like, you know, to come down off the high, they will be very sore and they'll be very tired, because they, like Rob Downey, his brother Owen Downey, Brian Mylan, the half back line, were unbelievably good yesterday. Now they were brilliant to a man. David Noonan in the middle of the field was excellent, and then Christy Ringsbrand, Sunshine, Kennefic up front got two magnificent scores late in the game to win it for them. So I suppose overall it was a really, really great day for the Glen. It was probably the most satisfying victory, I would say, for the Glen in probably two decades. I've no doubt in saying that, particularly for Hoggy. And talking to Liam Martin actually after the game, the chairman, and he said that the players really at half time took over and basically said, listen, Hoggy's after carrying us for 15 years now, and of all times, it's really up to us now to pitch up and do it for Hoggy. And that was really, I think, the mantra that carried the day for the Glen. They're like their neighbours, even though the Glen is in Shandoun and Sarah's is in Machilly, right? They're actually on the borders of both, like, you know. So they'll know each other fierce well, and that will be a derby in its own right. But I'd have to say, Dalo, if Hoggy doesn't play for the Glen, and like Sarah's are a really, really professional outfit now, this crowd, they can play ball. Like, they don't give away the ball. They're a bit like the Limerick Senior Hurling team now, right? They're a good quality hurling team, and they don't do panic. They've had huge underage success all the way up along the line. Well managed. Peter Queeley from Waterford is actually coaching this year. So this is his second club, because he was involved with Ron Moore as well in Waterford. So I like Sarah's will start as hot favourites, I think, in that match. And if Hoggy isn't playing for the Glen, I think the Glen will struggle to do 2 days in a row. But look, stranger things have happened. But I'd be fancying Sarah's on that side of it.
Yeah, it's a bit like in Clare, and we touched on it before we go. Like, looking forward to next weekend at Ballyhea. The talk is that Tony Kelly has to have the surgery, that the ankle has deteriorated. I mean, he came on in the quarterfinal against Kim Ailey and won the match in 10 minutes. And Ballyhea without him are not the threat. So I think they'd win the championship if they had him. But I don't see him winning it out. It's amazing with a massive talisman like that, what they can do. Lads, elsewhere, looking around, Ken, and you'd be on about, you know, that in Tip, I suppose, well, we talk about that. The four probably maybe that you'd have picked out are there and Smoutwater for next weekend. Like, even Kilkenny, and we'd have been looking maybe potentially on looking ahead to the maybe Munster Club, Leinster Club, and the Shamrocks are back there again, beating the Village yesterday, and joined by O'Loughlin's, which I suppose if a lot of us rest at the start of the year, who'd be there, and like the spectre of Ballyhea looms large for the whole country again. I know they haven't even won their county final, but they just are that type of club, aren't they? And it's I don't know if you saw any of that, or you probably just saw reports and that kind of thing.
I saw the reports, and of course TJ hitting 111 as we mentioned already, but an outstanding club team, Ballyhale, you know, played the game at the Rees. You know, you talk about the Limerick Senior Hurling team, and Mark alluded there to the Sars, but Jeannie, Ballyhale, like, it's telepathy right through the whole field. They don't do panic, savage composure. And I suppose, in fairness to James Stevens, you know, a strong city club, give their absolute best. Jackie Gunn now as well in transition. O'Loughlin's, of course, always have had the talent at underage level coming through, and Mark Bergen is still there up front. They're a lighter team. You're coming into the heavy end of the year now as well, you know, when you're looking at your bench and you're looking at guys maybe that working up to speed maybe 2 months ago or a month ago, you know, playing in good pitches. Now you have a situation where it's going to be heavier weather. We're due one hell of a bad Sunday as well. We always get them in probably late October, November, and that's going to happen as well. So, as you mentioned already, you know, that situation, that divide where Wexford have played their county final, it seems months ago now, and you'll have Ballyhale preparing for a county final. We'll come in fresh into a Leinster Club Championship, and you know, it's all to play for the Tip Championship, of course. You know, really interesting now at this stage. Bursley pulled out all the stops to beat an Owen Kelly inspired Mulnahan, but Brendan Maher carrying an injury. He hurt the knee that he had the cruciate surgery with. So the talk is that he's going to be fit. They've lost Kevin Maher, who would be seen as an inter-county prospect. Yeah. Suspension as well, just like Hoggy has got a straight red. I don't know what they obviously will have video evidence as well from that point of view. It was a pulling of the helmet and things like that. But Loughmore and Bursley, great history there, great rivalry. Most of them go and were former pupils of our ladies in Templemore, John Costigan's club brother Perkins. So they have a great rivalry there. I think that's going to go down to the wire. Loughmore, big win, of course, in the football championship. Now in both county semi-finals, John McGrath back on song, you know, 4-6 the last day. Absolutely outstanding forward. But the big ace in the pack, I think, for Loughmore at the moment is that Lee McGrath has returned from Australia. He returned about a month ago, 5 weeks ago. Outstanding footballer, of course, captain of the minor football Ireland winning team in Tip, but also an excellent hurler on the periphery of the Tipperary seniors. So he is a big ace in the pack, in my opinion, because he's taken a lot of the heat off the rest of the McGraths and co up front, Evan Sweeney and these fellas. So I'd have a slight fancy for Loughmore to get to a county final again. But of course, what a game we're going to have in prospect, lads, with Torres Sarsis and
Killick. How are you calling this, Ken? I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, Torres Sarsis have been seen as the form team right throughout the year. But I did see him live playing against Upper Church and I was a little bit disappointed. I feel there's still a few kinks in the armour there. They're still dependent on the Paddy rolling axes at the back, you know, and obviously the Pat Burks up front. They have introduced a few new players, you know, Paddy Creedon, young Darius Dakelin is coming through now, along with his brother Connor. But they seem light. They seem a little light. And Mikey Cahill is reverted to the middle of the field. He brings a bit of power also in there. But they haven't been tested yet. They've got through Mid Tipperary. They've gone through the stages of the round robin in Tip and the league. They haven't been tested. This is the big acid test now. And obviously, Kilkenny management team there. Mark Dowling, of course, manager of Dixborough, won a county final with Dixborough there. But Mark is a player, was a good player himself. But he's a guy that has come in and added physicality to the Torres Sarsfield Sehope lads. There was that question about the physicality of the Torres Sarsfield's team. They will need all that in abundance against Killadangan. You know, Killadangan are still, in my opinion, the fancy. They're the fancy for honours to win the county championship. The Willie Connorses, you know, playing very well in the middle of the field. And of course, the rest of the lads, absolutely outstanding. You know, they have a real strong spine. Barry Hogan in goals. James, obviously county panellist. James Quigley at full back. And then, of course, you have the Gallaghers, Joseph and Ty Gallagher, along with the Flynns, the twin brothers, Alan and Paul Flynn. They have a very strong... They have four teams, lads. Killadangan are fielding four teams and have won the Junior B already, are in the Junior A final, or sorry, Junior C final, would you believe it, and played Senior B. And both teams played Senior Championship this year. Killadangan, Darry Egan was the goalkeeper for the Killadangan B team. So it just goes to show you the strength in depth that they have. And they can call now on all those Senior B players, the Rory Gleasons and co, that could contribute in a big way. So I still have a slight fancy for Killadangan. It's going to be a big test. Torres are coming back into it, and obviously they have added a little bit of physicality with the Kilkenny coaching setup. But they're two really interesting semi-finals. I think they're going to be rip-roaring games.
Yeah, I'd be paying my subscription, I think, to the Tip County Board to have a good there. I'd be looking forward to those. If they don't clash with the Clare semis, and we're in relegation as well, we're in the Last Chance Saloon on Saturday, so I'll have to go to that. We have to beat O'Callaghan's Mills and then hope we can win the last one. We haven't actually hurled too bad in the last few games. Clarecastle, we beat Wolf Tones in the group game, but we went down into the relegation on scoring difference. So we're senior for a long, long time, so it's scary times for us. But we have Aero Guinness, as I said, in 9 of Kilimone, and then you have Bellier, who a lot of people, for me, would have been the favourites. But without Kelly, it changes the whole dynamic against Newmarket and Fergus, the traditional kingpins of Clare, who have only won one championship maybe since 81, but are strong and tough, and they're both very hard to call. So really looking forward to those in Clare as well.
Six my Bridget Andale, was that?
Yeah, they're well beaten by a row, well beaten. There was no spark in them at all. Mark, they just never got going at all. Iroga were easily the better team. They actually got a late consolation goal, the Bridge, to put a bit of gloss on the score. Reedy got a goal. O'Donnell got a goal. They were good. Like, they've Danny Russell as well, very good forward. And a couple of their football players are playing really well in the hurling. Good ball winners, you know, Gavin Cooney, these guys, they're inter-county footballers, you know. These guys, Kieran Russell, yeah. These guys are, you know, fellas like that are good club hurlers because they know how to win the ball. And with the way the game has changed, striking is not as important even, lads. You know, some of these guys, their striking mightn't be hectic. No, not being any bit disrespectful to them, but they're very clever. They win the ball, they recycle it to the strikers. And, you know, the midfielder got injured, Thomas Downs. He'd be actually from near me back here in West Clare, plays football with Cora Clare. He went down with a hamstring, and they were able to bring on Darragh Walsh, who spent a couple of years. Darragh would have played with UCC, Mark, in the Cork Championship quite a bit, and Clare Minor, Clare 21 back in the day, only about 24 or 5. And he spent a couple of years in the States, but is back. And he came on off the bench, like, for Aero Guinness, and, like, 2 points from clay, and forced a brilliant save from the Bridge goalie, Derek Fahey. So, like, that they are strong, you know, and... It'll be, yeah, but Aina are the coming kind of, but the Killadangan waiting to happen, if you like, in Clare, around the Kilnamona. And so, yeah, they'll be great semi-finals as well. And that's bubbling up nicely in Clare as well. TJ, I have to talk to you about your old charges. Jesus Christ. Sorry for the language, listeners. What, 26 points poor old Kilkenairn were put to the sword over the weekend with Thomas's steaming towards four in a row, you'd say, TJ.
Yeah, I was up actually seeing him. I seen him for their second last game against Mellows, and like, definitely hurling very well forward. You were getting great scores. As opposed to all the other championships where you could nearly name three of the four semi-finalists or the four semi-finalists where they would have gone as predicted, the four semi-finalists in Galway has thrown up huge surprises. I suppose, like, over the last couple of years, you would have felt that Turlough Moore were getting ready to kind of nearly go and win a county. Sarsfields were threatening. Lee Mellows actually have one. And then Castlegar have been throwing shapes, and none of them make a quarter final. So huge surprises there. And then Capitagal, who've been very close over the last couple of years, they got beaten in the quarter final. So the four teams left, we'll say, are Thomas's, Clarenbridge, Crockwell, and Gart. So I said you wouldn't, like, well, I certainly wouldn't have named the four of them at the start of the championship. So plenty of surprises there. Thomas's favourites entitled to be, Kenneth Burke is, and Tommy Fitzgerald coaching them, going well. So I would say they'll be happy today. Yeah, but, like, look, I suppose
is the draw made for the semi-finals there, TJ?
I didn't see it, and I didn't see it. I normally get on the Thomas's page, so it mustn't be made yet. Maybe tonight, I'd say.
I tell you a good one there is my brief spell with Sars. I just had to pull out. The pub was so bloody busy with the outdoor at the time, and she's missed 3 weekends in a row, and I eventually had to ring Jackson, Joe McGrath, and just said, Joe, I'm going to have to walk from this. And I was disappointed as well because I was really enjoying it, and great club I felt, and real pleasure to work with them. But anyway, had to walk away. But of the couple of league matches I was there for, I think I was there for 3 league games, we played Gart of a Wednesday night, and Matty Murphy's over him, of course. And Les did arses on him. I know this is now early May, maybe, right? Because the pubs didn't reopen until the 7th of June. So was it mid-May, early May, about 10th of May, maybe, roughly, Wednesday, Thursday night, and they came over to Sars, the big pitch, the new pitch. And, they beat Sars, but Sars were missing 6 or 7, I'd say. You know, they wouldn't have had Joseph or Kevin or Cooney or John, even. But anyway, but it was a poor old game, like, you know. And I just said to Matty, geez, Matty, you could do a bit of... there was a lot of arses on view for the Gart lads. Let me just say it like that, right? The best way to do it. He says, Dale, we'll come on for the run in the North. and he's such a character, of course, Matty. And like, I'm looking now, we were coming the third, and Capitagal we played a week later, right? And they were buzzing around the place, over in their own place. They were buzzing. The game plan was slick and the ball was moving. Yeah. And I said, Jesus. And they've been obviously beaten in 3 semi-finals in a row up to that. And like, but Matty's thinking was, I'll have these boys ready for October. And you know, I in my own head, I'd say for Thomas's, Gart would probably be the team in the road, the townies in the road from them would be the sticky game. Like, obviously, and you were involved at the start. Did you play him in the final, TJ, at one of your 3 years?
No, I didn't.
Just before that, they met in the final, did they?
Before that, yeah.
But that would be the tricky one from a Thomas's point of view, I'd say.
Absolutely. So just like, there's only 5 kilometres between the two places. Like, so they're bordering. Yeah, and I'm sure that the last couple of years, what Thomas's have done, hasn't been sitting too well with all those Garth people, I'm sure. Like, so yeah, I'm back yeah. laughing in the semi-final. It's normally I'm hoping to be a double header in Athenry again. That's what it normally would be for Galway semi final. So yeah, but surprises there. There as I said, John, Turlough Moore. I know Sean and Anne was missing. Like, but again, for them to get turned up probably would have been a big surprise in Galway.
Yeah. Double headers, hopefully proper double headers now. Not an hour and a half between them since the stadiums are back open.
Correct.
Great to see both teams heading for the dressing rooms yesterday. Interestingly,
yes.
Listen to Clare FM. Even though the Junior A final was on back in Milltown Malby, it was a football weekend in Clare, obviously, and there was other games on. There was relegation on in Cork Clare. Dressing rooms were open. Clare's were in our county grounds. We couldn't find the keys to the dressing room for the senior football semi-finals. And they got drenched to the skin, like, and lads travelled back to Quilty yesterday, like, and there'll be COVID symptoms and there'll just be the flu after. Jesus, I don't know, like, we're after coming up with a document in Clare from the strategic review committee. We spoke about it early in the year that we're elected to look into the workings, and we're dysfunctional, like, and Jesus, for it to go on, like, lads, and dressing rooms to be allowed to be open for this weekend, and for the county senior football semi-finals, the dressing room's locked and they're talking out in the stand. The mind boggles by with Clare, and I won't go too much further except things happen.
Was that after Brian? Maybe they got last after Brian Lohan got an extra 3 years, didn't he?
Yeah. There was a rumour that the keys were gone to Congress and they couldn't be opened for Saturday. I don't know what the excuse was for yesterday.
How would they gone to Galway?
What?
There was rumours
they
might have been going to Galway, maybe.
We get to that. So, look, lads, yeah, great weekends, hurling, really enjoyed. Great to have to watch these games. Lads. That's the one thing the pandemic brought us that we got used to. Great to examine the coverage with the co-op stores. Lads. It's been brilliant, Mark, yourself and Gio and my old pal, Shawnee. Great analysis as well. And with Cullum and Ushing then doing the commentaries. And it's been great stuff, really. Great service there. Free as well. You just clip in.
Yeah, I went,
did 18 quid to the Clare County Board last weekend for the two games that we're on. You know,
yeah, I'd have to say the examiner has been brilliant now, to be fair. And there's a huge amount of crowds watching it. And even I missed my nephew, Padraig, was graduating from school yesterday. His grads were on. They were meeting at 3:30. And they watched a bit of the match on the television because obviously Imikili would be the same region as us. And they had it on in the background and they were able to stream it to the television. But there was about 35 of them there watching the match, like, you know. And
yeah,
they wouldn't have actually went to the game themselves, but the fact that it's on the television, they said they sit down and watch it. So it's the live streaming has been brilliant. And I really hope that county boards and whatever the powers that be will allow it to happen into the future, because there's a huge amount of people. And just give you one example. John Fitzgibbon, you remember him, right?
Yes.
Himself and his brother Kieran are in Boston, right? And they come back every year if the Glen are in the county final. I met him at the county final last year and the year previous. And I actually met him. The Glen were in the Premier Minor final 3 weeks ago and the examiner covered it. And Kieran was there with his father, Vince, and he was heading back to America a couple of days later. But for people like, and I'm just saying because I know him, but there's a huge amount of people from clubs that are living abroad or are living up the country and don't have the time to come down to watch a match or would never fly home to watch a match. We need to have that live streaming facility available. Now that the pandemic has made it a really easy thing to do, it certainly has to be promoted, in my view, Anthony, going forward, has to be promoted.
No, 100%. 100%. It's been brilliant, and it's just you'd get the examiner on a Monday, and you'd get the who played well, who did the scoring, you know, and even talking to about the Munger. I mean, the paper didn't have Paul O'Brien down for a score, and just talking to you there before, like he got four from play. And you know how you might get the wrong story from just a newspaper report, not the newspaper reports are normally bang on, but it is. It's been fantastic to be able to look at the various levels and. Again now, next weekend with Clare and Tip, I suppose, being the big two. Ken, you were in action in Offaly?
Yeah, we're in action in Offaly. We got our bum smacked yesterday, I can tell you, in a big way. We played Bourne the last round of the championship. We were through to the semi-finals. Our eye wasn't on the ball, definitely. And Bourne had to win, and had to win handsomely to stay in the championship. They did all that, but Shinrone had a facile win over Kennedy, So it meant that Shinrone qualified in the head-to-head, actually, because Belmont and Ballinamere Duro, Dagenham's team, they drew, which meant they didn't finish in 6 points. So Shinrone and Burr finished in 6 points, but Shinrone go through in the head-to-head and score average as well if it went down to that. We ended up finishing third. We played the second team, which is Kilcarmac Killahy. So we renewed rivalries again with Kilcarmac Killahy after the county final there about 6-8 weeks ago, the 2020 final. And of course, a big game, Coolderry and Shinrone, a local derby. Brian Carroll, obviously on fire with Coolderry still. Stephen Kevin playing great stuff. And of course, Shinrone, the Samsons, you've seen them already now. Big playing Kirsty Ring, Killian and Jason Sampson. And of course, the Duhans, Connor Duhan and Dan Duhan. Outstanding hurlers as well for Shinrone with the Cleary, with all the Clearys as well, which is a big name. Shinrone have a lot of talent, lads, and they are coming strong in Offaly. Trevor Fletcher is the manager there. From Rossgrave. Played with Kilcarmac Killahy base. So they have come through. They have been knocking the door. And they have played Kilcarmac twice. Or sorry, played Coolderry twice already this year in a league final and championship. And were beaten narrowly. So this is the third time round. So Shinrone are a very good team and could end up turning the table. So I think it's going to be two interesting finals. Kilcarmac and St. Rhinus renew rivalries. It's been head-to-head for the last couple of years. St. Rhinus have got the better of him the last year or two. But up to then, Kilcarmac had been they had won 3 in a row. They had beaten Rhinus in two or three finals. So just a big, big rivalry there. So they're going to be two very interesting semi-finals in 2 weeks' time, lads.
Yeah, and I was actually talking to Trevor on a completely, he's in the Bar game as well. I was talking about a completely separate matter. And he was saying they'd need an awful turn of events, Shinrone, but he was hoping that they'd look after their own business. Sounds like you got the boys in a nice little designer defeat there, and you'll have them nice and grounded now for the semi-final, in fairness, Joe.
Well, Burr and Rhinus, you know, there's always great old rivalry there. And I can tell you, we were disappointed yesterday with our display overall. And we have plenty to work on. I'll give you that anyway. Plenty to work on.
And we're down to the Laois final as well. I think Boris Kilcotton, I think, and Rathdowney Earl, I think, was it? Are meeting up.
Boris Kilcotton had a big win over Camross. Scored 25 points to 112 or something. Convincing winners. Boris Kilcotton have been knocking on the door. Obviously, we won it in 16. Should have won maybe one or two since. Back in the final again, they lost the 2020 final to Clonbellacolla only, of course, six or seven weeks ago as well. Same pairing again for the final. Clonbellacolla pulled out all the stops yesterday because they were down against Rathdowney Earl. Lost a man. And something like the Glen yesterday, Mark, came back to win. Renewing rivalries again. Boris Kilcotton, you know, we played him actually. We took a chance the Friday night before the county finals there a number of weeks ago to play against each other, maybe 8 days before the county final. And I actually felt bad about it because we had to take the gamble. They had to take the gamble to be sharp for the final. And they ended up with two dirty old hamstring injuries, Stephen Dunphy and Stephen Phelan, who were very good players. And we came through on skate. That's the look of the draw. And it definitely militated against them in the county final. Now those guys are back. And Boris Kilcotton have the bit between their teeth. You know, Kieran Comerford, manager and things like that. Clonbellacolla do have savage tradition. You know, savage tradition. Yeah. Willie Highland, the boys, Willie Dunphy, all still flying it as well.
Picky Mars. That's Picky's club as well.
Picky. And Picky's playing great, you know. And Rathdowney Earl were in hard luck yesterday. Mark Kavanagh, who obviously you saw as an outstanding score getter for Laois for the last couple of years, only a young player, third cruciate ligament injury, you know, a terrible disaster altogether. And that's just totally hard luck for him. But it's going to be a great Laois final again. They're right in the border, they're living with each other, and it's going to be one hell of a game.
Great stuff. So much to look forward to. Great time of the year. I always love this time of the year when it's getting the business into that. Since we were on, lads, I suppose we mentioned about the finals being played early, and I suppose hopefully next year when we get the split seasons, we might get more. You know, Waterford has been over a while. Wexford, even me old buddies down in Kilmiley, great win in Kerry again. Like, but I think they're going to be waiting 12 weeks for the Tipperary Intermediate champions. You know, for the Munster Intermediate club, it's so difficult, like, isn't it, to be Obviously, the referees under Skippy, Declute and they had a massive win. They had won too many in Wexford, and they had a great win down there. But then they decided kind of to concentrate on their hurling first, and then their football, I think, down there, because they have so many dual clubs. So hopefully that will go out the window. I think every second weekend in the counties is working better for we say the four counties that we'd be.
Yeah, dual clubs.
It's fine for the Kilkennys of this world. But since we were on, lads, and since we had the All-Ireland and all that, we've had a lot of old... A couple of lads, you know, when Ken got into management, obviously, like, fair shocks in management this year, lads. Obviously, the one with the week gone by, we'll talk about in a sec, but like, even, I suppose, a lot of talk that Derek McGrath maybe even does a bit of talk about Eddie Brennan, and then Darry Egan is named as Wexford manager, and we were hearing all sorts of names in tip. Darry Egan very strongly mentioned there as well, and then we didn't see Colin Bonner coming from left field, so unusual ones, and those two obviously great tip guys, great track records as well with teams they've been involved in. You mentioned earlier about Dara still playing in goal for his club, and how instrumental he has been in the whole rise of Kildangan, I think, it's been huge. But, you know, one we didn't see coming, maybe.
Yeah, Dara, like, I mean, and also from Dara's point of view, obviously a very ambitious young man, 35 years of age, still playing with his club. Huge influence in the Kildangan club there as well, you know, at obviously a national school principal in Puckon. But I can tell you this much, it is amazing what a few weeks do, because he took over Wexford. Anyone that spoke to me in Wexford, I said he's a very smart young man, very smart tactically, very astute, good manager, and I'm sure he'll do very well. But I'm sure Darrow would have seen it and saying, geez, Kilkenny might be slipping a bit, Galway are in a bit of turmoil. Now the tables are totally turned again with King Henry arriving to Galway. And what a turnaround, what a change around there, like, because... From everybody's perspective, this has added huge excitement and huge intrigue to the hurling championship next year, because every Galway hurler, I'm sure, is turning their heads now and saying, well, where do I fit in here? Where do I stand? Do I stay going? Do I come back? Will I get a chance to come in? And I think it's a big call for the Galway County Board. It's a big call for Henry. We all know Henry. He's a very smart, steady sort of a guy. And here he hit the lure of Galway hurling, lining out against his own county, of course, on the sideline against Brian Cody, plotting and planning against the TJ Reeds and the Owen Codys of this world and the Finleys and co. So, I mean, it's going to be absolutely intriguing. The Leinster Championship now, you know, you're always moaning and groaning there. Brian Carter's been moaning and groaning there, but you're always talking about Munster Hurling. All the talk now is about Leinster Hurling. The spotlight, you know, Matty Kinney's staying for the third or fourth year, I think it's the fourth year, is it, with Dublin? So, and they're making steady progress. But by God, what a championship is going to throw up. And the round robin, please God, we're all looking forward to the round robin again, because, you know, Waterford and Tip is the first game, lads, below in Walsh Park. Liam Cahill with Waterford, Colin Bonner with Tip. And that is going to be a skinner. And that's putting it nicely.
And nobody knowing more about Waterford hurling than your old teammate Colin Bonner, you know.
Yeah, Colin, great guy, great fella, great buzz in him, and he'll bring the lads around him. He'll bring a bit of fun back into it, because maybe that's what was lacking. It got a bit, there was a bit of drudgery there, which can happen, you know, when, you know, 3-4 years of management, same thing going on. Now he's going to have to introduce fresh blood. Delighted Tommy Dunn has stayed on, and of course Paul Curran. Still playing with Mulnahone at full back, you know, a very serious man about his hurling, very serious Tipperary man. And of course, Johnny Enright, outstanding UCC player, Mark, great Fitzgibbon player. One player that we always thought might have made it at senior level, but his brother Eddie came through and did a great job for Tipperary. But Johnny Enright, outstanding Turtle Saracens player, UCC Fitzgibbon player, and absolutely very smart coach, you know. Nicky has recommended him highly. He's been involved up there with UCD and Meath and Kildare hurling teams, and he's, you know, at the perfect age as well. The players don't know him into the bargain. They don't know what to expect, and I think Colin has put a good package together with strength and conditioning, things like that, and I think it's going to be a really exciting season, lads, for everybody. But I can tell you, this management game has moved up a notch totally. You know, you have a situation now where every county is so high profile. and the expectations are going to be huge.
Yeah, massive. Mold water. And TJ, we can't get the inside track here down in Clare Lake, but for a while I thought it was another Clare management being named with Davey, Louis Mulqueen, Michael Brown, Mike Deegan, Fergal Lynch. I mean, that kind of threw me off a bit, I have to say, around last Tuesday. I was saying, Jesus, how are the Galway lads going to accept five Clare lads coming in? Like, so I didn't know whether that was true, but we didn't see the bombshell coming. Funny enough, when Micheál, I don't know who declared he wasn't interested, I made a statement down Murty's that don't be surprised as if Shefflin might come into the Rectum, because around then it was just confirmed that Brian Cody was staying on again. And I said, like, Shefflin is out there, like, you know, okay, he's with Thomastown trying to win an intermediate in you know, club over the road from him. And he's kind of said he wouldn't manage against Ballyhale. And you know, I just said, like, if you're Henry, it's tempting, there's a lot of good hurlers. And I know they did make an approach before Shane O'Neill got the job. So I wondered, would it come into play? The logistics, I suppose, the 2.5 hours from Ballyhale up is a bit of a... But what happened, TJ? Come on, you know, like, Kevin has you filled in on all this.
I'm a little bit the same as yourselves. I was of the opinion, and I'm sure I told you, I posted, I did think that Davey was getting the job. I think Davey confirmed more or less on Friday night that he thought this was definitely coming his way. It seemed like a late play. Look, Paul Bellew, he's the chairman of the hurling board up there. So obviously, it was his remit to go and meet all these guys and do a good deal for Galway. And geez, he's come up trumps. This is a massive coup for him and for Galway. I suppose nobody knows what's going to happen. That's up to Henry now. But it's exciting for hurling, I think, to have Henry on the sideline now. Like, he's a huge aura about him. I think if you're, what Ken said there, I think if you're a hurler in Galway, like, you're massively excited now to be getting the call and getting in training with Henry and seeing the dressing room and seeing the carry on there. I just think it's good for the game. I think Henry probably is a small bit mad in terms of this commute, because it is long, like, to go from Ballyhale to Lochdar to the training ground. But there is a little bit of madness in all managers, as we well know. Like, you have to be, like, so. It's exciting. It's really, really good for the game. Like what I said at the top of the show, we're definitely gone premiership-y in the hurling. It's about the manager. It's about the profile. Ken has just said there that this is kind of new territory now, because I think for any club or any county, maybe in the past, you might have had little circle drawn there for trying to work out a commute for a fellow, whether it was 30 or 40 or 50 minutes. So this kind of opens up the country to everybody. So look, the reality is what you want in a manager is you want to play for him. Like, look what, let's say, Klopp has done at Liverpool. I think there was even Man United. Man United telling me that you'd love to play for Klopp. Do you know what I mean? And I think Henry brings that. And, like, as I said, it's going to be hugely interesting. Big challenge now for him, because that job isn't easy. And, you know, there's a lot of decisions to be made. Like, obviously, Joe Kenning has retired. No, Joe has got an injury, I think, with his groin as well. Like, so I don't see Joe coming back, but does that come into Henry's thinking? Does he have a chat with him? I'm sure he will. And then he's got to put a management team together. And Galway's probably at a stage where there's a kind of a little bit of a freshening or a rebuild of that forward line to try and get him moving. But I think we all know from, let's say, winning under 17 titles and the club scene up there, there's an awful lot of ammunition there. I think one of the challenges in the past that I thought was there's nearly too much of an abundance of maybe a similar type player, Dale, where you could have maybe 12 or 14 or 15 forwards, nearly the same stature and the same level. So it's getting the balance right, getting the group right, and getting the energy going. But, like, yeah, hugely exciting for Galway, I think, more than anybody else.
Yeah, does he come in, Mark, at a tricky time now? I'm just going to be devil's advocate here, and I'll tell you, I think it's brilliant. Like, he'd be a loss in the Sunday game now if I'm back there next year. We don't, none of us know that, but maybe we'll have a replacement that he replaced during last week. You don't know what's going to happen at that front either. But no, Mark, like, that 17 team, very good team, might have got a second one, but in Limerick, look, they nearly caught Limerick down the stretch, I suppose, in that final in 18, and who knows what would happen. I think Limerick would have come anyway, but you know, Joe's gone. Whether he comes back or not, as TJ said, we don't know. But, you know, there is a guy, without naming too many names, we know the guy, you know, the Johnny Cones, the Aidan Harts, the Gerard McInerneys, the David Burks. They're not getting younger. Is it a tricky time? They have a lot of underage one, but not too many of them have been blooded.
I think they've won three or four minors in a row. Obviously, Cork won this year's one, but prior to that, like, they certainly have to have an awful lot of Yeah, they have an awful lot of young talent. There's no doubt about that. And certainly we found some of the decisions last year. We found that Evan Nyland, something. We found Evan Nyland not starting last year to be a very strange decision. I thought he was a really good young player that was coming to the fore and obviously a good free taker. And maybe that might have been a toss-up between Joe Canning and Evan Nyland to get the starting spot. In fact, that Joe has retired, I think, is a help to Henry. I can't see him going back for him, to be honest. Or maybe he's a fella that he might introduce into the back room, but you know yourself, it's very close. Anthony, you were involved with Clare when you were manager and a selector with players that you played with, and it's a very difficult thing to be that close to the action. Maybe there is time for Joe maybe to step away and clear the head for a couple of years and stuff like that. So I think Henry is going to boost Galway, there's no doubt. We were as shocked as anybody that Galway played as poorly last year in this year's championship. Because last year they were the one team that we felt were good enough to beat Limerick. So their performance, like when they were beat, I think it was Dublin, Dublin beat them in the first round this year. That was a very limp performance, and they were very limp for the rest of the championship as well. So it seemed like whatever Shane had done the first year was excellent, but certainly last year was very, or this year's championship was very poor. So I think Henry is coming in with a team that are possibly top three, definitely, in the country. They have the ammunition. And I think Henry is going to bring a break. And do you know what else he's going to bring? He's going to bring the supporters. Because I think the supporters may have had a big influence on who got that job. And as no one can question Henry Shefflin. He's a fantastic manager. He was a fantastic player himself. Has all the accolades won. And even on the Sunday game, just what you know, he's a quality guy involved there. I think it's a massive pickup for Galway. And I do think he'll get a tune out of him. And like what he proved in Ballyhale Shamrocks, it's always very hard to train your own team. But to win to two All-Ireland clubs with him straight away into management, I think that's fantastic. I think it's a massive, massive boost. And not alone for Galway, it's a massive boost for the game. Ken mentioned about Leinster Championship. It's a massive boost for Leinster, but it's a massive boost for hurling in general that you have somebody of his stature straight into the top level.
It sure is. And, you know, he tortured me enough as a player, I think, but my time with Clare and certainly with Dublin anyway. He was just such a brilliant player. His vision and his movement was just something to behold. His spatial awareness. And what I love about him as a pundit, and I've got to know him nearly much better as a person in the last few years, is he's straightforward. He believes the game should be played in certain ways. I don't think we'll see sweepers. He's still of the very modern in his thinking, but still of the mindset you win your own ball first. And I am looking forward to see that challenge being brought to the Galway lads as well. And so much to look forward to, lads. And look, the hurling, as Ken said, we know how great Munster will be. You know, Brian Lohan getting three more years, Limerick still there, new management, hit Liam Cahill staying on, and Cork haven't been in the All-Ireland with all the underage. Like, we know Munster, and now we've Shefflin turned into the mix, and what'll the camera work be like today? The pick Kenny, Cody'd be followed around the place with cameras to see. It was so it's intriguing. And Darry Egan obviously taking over and fresh approach in Wexford and Matty staying on in Dublin. So much to look forward to. The football lads couldn't even agree to give him a few extra games on Saturday. Well, I suppose it wasn't the footballers' fault. We won't be knocking them to the suits again, of course, and the Nardi boys, of course, they are happy with their Ulster Championship. So I suppose there will be change eventually there, but it just goes to show, like, as Father Harry used to say it, lads, and I let you go on this, the great Father Harry used to say it to me there, and we'd be chatting and we'd be disgruntled with something that would happen with the board when we were in charge of Clare. And he said, Dalo, if there was no players, the GAA still meet.
And Dalo, do you know what I was going to finish on was Mike Hoolan actually had a very good article in the paper over the weekend. I'm not sure if you got to read it. His statement was, what?
But
one of the statements he came out with in that article was, going forward, for everybody, it's very important that we don't take the hurling out of hurling.
Yes. Yeah, and I mentioned footballers playing hurling in the club scene and how they're using the ball. Yeah, yes. We have to, like, in fairness, Aaron Gillan, you know, kind of marshalled, I suppose, very unlucky. Jesus, the overhead flick from the line ball to hit the post. Yes. was a real throwback to what we, you know, a line ball into the edge of the square from his brother and up. Double two hands and bang off to Barry Hennessy, yeah. You know where it was, and clear the lines, and I suppose one of the turning points in a good Limerick final. So great stuff, lads. I think we're back on a regular basis for a few weeks, so probably see you again next Monday. Great feed, great. Thanks to all the people that were demanding us back there for the last few weeks. You know who you are, lads, and you'll have the old fix again for the hour and a half there now, whether you're stuck in the tractor. I have a few boys coming into me, TJ, they're in tractors listening to us, like. They've gone very modernised with the tractors.
I've heard of that. Actually, Dillo, I was out for a beer on, actually, Kevin Downs' 30th on Saturday night, and I met...
You had a heavy enough weekend, TJ.
I had a heavy enough weekend, but I met Big Will, the enforcer, in town Saturday night, Dillo, and he was kind of giving me, saying we could be doing a little bit more for him there. So we were in back. He was getting a shoe, Dillo, there over the last year or two, kind of saying, to kind of say to you, you could do a little bit more. That came from
okay. A little bit goes a long way.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Brilliant.
Thanks a million.
Yeah, lads.
See you soon.
Cheers, lads. Hello.
A grain of rice. A grain of rice. You're going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lads.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show.
Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
To know what's really happening, subscribe to the Irish Examiner today at irishexaminer.com/subscribe.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.